morning, everyone. This is Larry Phillips. It's a Sunday morning for our morning Pineville morning house service at Pineville House Church. I'm going to start this morning by giving some announcements, and just for the benefit of all of those who tune in, our service is going to be starting this morning, actual service where we have Mark read some scriptures for us, and then we'll have some singing and a time of worship. And I want to invite Concilio Souza, who's just joined us. We will also be having a worship service tonight. We're going to be having I will be co-moderating the worship service with Brother Mark Kennedy from Long Beach, California, who is one of our associates out in that area. Kevin McHugh will not be with us Wednesday night because he's having technical issues with his phone. However, he wanted me to announce to everyone that he is starting he is now on Facebook Live. You can look him up under Kevin, and it's MC capital CUE, and he's out of Long Beach, California as well. And you'll be able to find his program. Ristico Danan 3 joined us, and I've known Ristico for years. He's been I feel like we're close buddies, bosom buddies, because of the fact that we've been on Facebook for so long. Welcome aboard, Ristico. It's a joy to see you this morning and your lovely wife. And I often see posts by your son as well. Ristico and his family are from the Philippines, and they have been a tremendous blessing over the years, edifying to me and my family. And that's what the family of God is truly all about. On Monday night, we're going to be having a special guest that's going to be joining us. Can you hand me that book out of there, Mark? I've mentioned this several times on our program. Edward Hendry is an international author, and he has written a book which I strongly endorse. And I want to invite Charity Joseph, Concilio Souza, Ristico Danan, and those other people that are joining us. This book is entitled The Anti-Gospel, The Perversion of Christ's Grace Gospel by Edward Hendry. And you can get an e-copy very inexpensively if you just go to your search engine and put in Edward Hendry, book, The Anti-Gospel. It's $4 or something like that. And it's well worth the investment, believe me. So I strongly encourage people, if you can, get a copy of that book. He's a prolific author. He's written a number of books. And I'm not trying to exalt Edward Hendry, but he's a modern-day Apostle Paul. He went through Notre Dame, brought up in Roman Catholicism, went on to Jesuit law school, became a highfalutin attorney with the government, and God marvelously saved him. And he has written quite a number of other books. He's written a book called Bloody Zion. He has written a book called 9/11, talking about the Mossad's involvement in 9/11. He's very, very knowledgeable. He had a CIA clearance, very high clearance for a long time, and he's quite a researcher. So I recommend that. So if you can join us on Monday night, we will be live here on Facebook with Edward Hendry, and we'll be talking about the preservation of the saints, or the perseverance of the saints, whichever you prefer. there's a whole group of people out there, even on YouTube, that are trying to say that you can lose your salvation. I want to welcome aboard Pedro Calabundico and also all of the rest of you that have joined us as well. I can't name everyone. But the interesting thing about when you start getting into discussion of the doctrines of grace, there are always those that will pervert it. And there's a group on YouTube that say they're grace, but they don't believe in true grace. They believe in temporary life, not eternal life. And they believe that a person can be saved. Looks like I've lost my connection. I'm trying to reconnect. So this is going to be one of those days. Haven't had any problem with this in the past. Well, I might as well just get out there and start over. It's working fine. Well, maybe we won't be having our service this morning. I don't know. Well, I'm sorry, everyone. We lost our connection there momentarily. So much for technology. You know, it always amazes me. They talk about going to the moon, but they can't even make sure that we have good technology right here on this earth. Okay. Or going to Mars. You know. That's another thing. Scripture is full of what is called false science. False science. And so we lost our guest. So maybe they'll come back on once they find out we're on again. Mark is going to read some scripture for us. We're coming up on the top of the hour. For those of you who may have missed our introduction and our announcements, I was able to capture that for sermon audio. So you're welcome to listen to it. Once we post our morning service on sermon audio, you'll get all the announcements of our upcoming programs. And that way you'll be up to speed on that. So I'm going to have Mark stand up and read us
Hebrews 13, 1 through 6. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity, being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed and the foul, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Very good. Very good. It's good admonition for all of us. And so let's take that under consideration and apply it to our lives. The first song we're going to sing is out of the old school hymnal. and it's page 17. And let me see if I can. This is called O Day of Rest and Gladness, page 17 out of the Old School Hymnal. There are other good books out there with hymns in them. John Gill? The other Gadsby hymns. Gadsby has a hymnal out that's really good. Has a lot of good doctrinal hymns in it. Mark, you want to start that?
O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light, O balm of care and sadness, most beautiful, most bright, on thee the high and lowly, bending before the throne, sing holy, holy, holy to the great Three-in-One. On thee at the creation, the life first had its birth. On thee for our salvation, Christ rose from death so birth. On thee our Lord victorious, the Spirit sent from heaven, and thus on thee most glorious, a triple life was given. Today on weary nations, the heavenly manna falls, to holy convocations, the silver trumpet calls, where God's light is glowing, with pure and radiant beams, and living waters flowing with soul refreshing streams, new graces ever gaining. From this our day of rest, we reach the rest remaining to spirits of the blessed, to Holy Ghost be praises, to Father and to Son. The Church your voice us raises to be blessed Three-in-One.
Okay. The next one Rosette has requested that we sing is Psalm 76A, page 79.
God the Lord is known in Judah, great in His name in Israel. His pavilion is in Salem, His abode on Zion's hill. There He broke the bow and arrows, bade the sword and shield be still. Excellent art Thou and glorious, coming from Thy hills of prey. Thou the spoil the valiant hearted, wrapped in sleep or death are they. Mighty men have lost their cunning, none are ready for the fray. Horse and chariot low are high, in the sleep of death are night. Jacob's God, Thou didst rebuke them, Thou art fearful in Thy might. With Thy anger once is risen, who may stand before Thy sight? When for them Thy sentence sounded, all the earth in fear was still. While to save the meek and lowly, God in judgment wrought His will. Even breath of man shall praise Thee, what remains is kept from ill. Make your vows out to the Lord, pray your God what is His hope. All the bring your gifts before Him, here is due to Him alone. He brings low the pride of princes, kings shall tremble at his frown.
Okay, we'll sing one more before we go over to the other part of our service. Let's sing number 190. You know, there's a lot of discussion about the kingdom of God, and the church of God, and the bride of Christ, the elect, you know, different ways to Christ with this dispensational lie perpetrated by the Zionist and the Scofield Reference Bible, which if you have one of those, you probably ought to throw it in the trash. But anyway, God's kingdom is one kingdom. Okay, it's not. There's not one way for the Jews, and then one way for the Gentiles, and then the, when we get in heaven, there have be in different chambers. Okay, there's one marriage supper of the Lamb. There's one faith. There's one church. And there's one baptism. You have all these different denominations out there. Everybody thinks they're right. Let me tell you who's right. Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul and Peter couldn't even agree on some things, could they? I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode. The church, our blessed Redeemer, sank with his own precious blood. I love thy church, O God, her walls before thee stand, dear as the apple of thine eye, and graven on thy hand. For her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend. To her my cares and toils be till toil and care shall end. Beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. Jesus, sovereign divine, our Savior and our King, thy hand from every snare and foe shall great deliverance bring. Sure as thy truth shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can yield and brighter bliss of heaven. Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us in the service today. We pray that your name, your word, be exalted. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, a very liked and a very hated senator passed away yesterday. John McCain. I'm not political. I'm apolitical. I don't take a political position. Because they're all corrupt. All politicians are corrupt. In fact, I would go even further than that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, including Larry Phillips. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of all of his elect. John McCain is no longer here on this face of this earth. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of hero worship around John McCain because he was a prisoner of war Vietnam veteran that was kept in prison camps for, I don't know, several years. There's a lot of different stories about that. But the reason I bring up John McCain is a lot of people defame him and a lot of people acclaim him. Well, a lot of people exalt Jesus Christ, and a lot of people dethrone Jesus Christ, or they think they're dethroning Jesus Christ. I'm glad to see Rustico and Cipriano and Petro and Carl and Lee Rogers and a number of others have joined us. I'm sorry we lost you guys a while ago. So much for technology, okay? We lost our signal. People often ask us, you know, well, where do you guys live? And I just say, we live at the end of the world. Okay. We live out in the middle of some pine trees, outside of a little town called Pineville, Missouri, on the top of an Ozark mountain. Okay, so we do live out in the boonies. And we love it. We love it. I saw something posted the other day on Facebook, and it said, would you rather live in the city and go to the country for a ride, or live in the country and go to the city for a ride? I like option B. Okay, I like living in the country. I like being surrounded by wonderful beauty of God's creation. And yesterday we saw a beautiful rainbow. And, you know, that is God's covenant that he will never cover the earth again with flood. That was his covenant to Noah. And we also have the beauty of God's creation demonstrated and loudly speaking out to us, right? Loudly speaking to us. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day into day he utters speech, and night into night he showeth knowledge. And we also see in Romans 1, he says that, what happens? He said they worshipped the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever, amen. And I'm paraphrasing, God will turn them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly. But it all started with not worshiping their creator, not acknowledging their creator and exalting him. Well, this morning I want to look at a passage of scripture briefly in the 20th chapter of Matthew, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want to look at verse 15 very, very closely. Now, we know this story of the laborers that came and wanted to earn money, and we know that some came early, some came later, and they both were paid the same amount of money. And they were upset. The ones that came earlier were upset. They felt like they'd been discriminated against, okay? And so they began to question the person who, the householder who had hired them. And we see in verse 15, the householder says to them, is it not lawful for me to do, this is Christ telling this story, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine evil, I evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Well, you know, this really was not well received, was it? It's like a lot of things aren't well received in Scripture. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Question, is it not lawful for Christ to do with what he will with all of his creation? He created it. Is it not lawful for him to do whatever he chooses with all of his creation? That includes both vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. That includes all of the four-footed creatures. That includes the trees, the oceans. Is he not over the weather? Is he not over all things? Colossians tells us that by him all things consist. He created all things, and by him all things consist. Well, a lot of people are not happy with their station in life. You know, they say that's not fair. I wasn't given a fair shake. Okay. And, you know, it reminds me when I was involved with social work. I met a Down syndrome child. And he had a really good perspective in terms of his relationship with his Creator. He was living in an assisted living kind of environment, and I was kind of overseeing it. And I went in to visit with him, see how he was doing. And you know what he said to me? He said, "Larry," he said, "I have something to tell you." And I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "I know Jesus loves me." And he said, "I love Jesus, and we're best friends." Isn't that wonderful? You could tell it was coming from his heart. He had no arguments with his Creator over the fact that he'd been born Down syndrome. He didn't shake his fist in the face of his Creator and say, why did you create me thus? But there are a lot of people that do that, don't they? I want to welcome Francisco Calma with us this morning. There are a lot of people that are angry. They don't like... they don't like the country they're living in. They don't like the gender that they were created, so they try to change their gender. They don't like their race, so they try to... I even read a book one time about a person that tried to change the color of his skin. They don't like the fact they were created male or female, so they try to make themselves the opposite. Or both. Who knows anymore in our society. But here's something I want to pose a question. Hath not the potter power over the clay? That's what Scripture says. Romans 9:21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Now there are people who say, I just want to hear John 3:16. My whole theology is based on John 3:16, really. You're going to base your whole doctrine on one verse in the Bible. What about the first 15 verses of John 3, I ask? The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. You must be born again. You don't born yourself again. That's not proper English, but you don't born yourself again. Looking on a fellow's website, he had that John 3:16 posted on his website as the cardinal doctrine of truth for the Christian world. It's not. It's not. My question to you, that base your whole theology on John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who are the whosoevers that believe, and how did they obtain their belief? Did they just make a decision one day that they were going to believe on the Son of God? Did they raise them up out of spiritual death into spiritual life? No, they did not. They were, if they believe in the true Jesus Christ, not this false Arminian Jesus Christ that people are reporting out here, if they believe in the true Jesus Christ, they've been quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit and given new life. Now, we were born and conceived in sin. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, and something had to happen. And we couldn't make it happen, contrary to Billy Graham and all the Arminian evangelists out there. Why do you think Billy Graham named his broadcast the Hour of Decision broadcast? It's a lie. Billy Graham endorsed Roman Catholicism, took an honorary doctorate degree from Rome, and was sold out to Rome, and said that Pope John Paul was one of the most, I can't quote him, but gave him accolades, you know, exalted the Pope. Well, casting off the potter, power over the clay. Well, if he doesn't have power over the clay, then he's not God. Pure and simple. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. That's predestination. That's election. That's foreknowledge. Foreknowledge isn't just looking down the portals of history and seeing that you're going to choose God. That has nothing to do with foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is an intimate relationship before we were even born that Christ had with all of his elect. Well, he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He told Jeremiah, while you were yet in your mother's womb, I knew you and foreordained you to be a prophet. So this morning, you can really get me going on this grace thing. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. You know, I was sharing with my lovely wife, Rosette, the other day that we've been married 44 years. And I was sharing with her, you know, a lot of people will sing Amazing Grace, and they don't have a clue what grace is. They don't really know how amazing it is. It's some kind of sloppy grace. It's a feel-good grace. It's what I call Beatles theology. Okay. You know what Beatles theology is? All we need is love. Do, 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 do. All we need is love. Do, 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 do. All we need is love. Love. Love is all we need. Come on. What is love? That's the question. What is love? Love is the personification of truth. You know, Rustico asked a real good question, or it might have been his son. Anyway, he asked a real good question the other day. I saw it on Facebook. This issue of truth-telling. Is it better to withhold the truth if you know it's going to hurt somebody's feelings? Or is it better to tell the truth? Or is it better to just withhold the truth? Or even maybe create a falsehood to make somebody feel good? That's what most people are doing today. They're not only withholding the truth, they're prefabricating a lie to make people feel good. See, Scripture tells us that there will come a time when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and be turned from the truth. You know, there's nothing wrong with proclaiming the truth. We are exhorted to exhort, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. We're living in a time where, you know, it's not just fake news in the media. It's fake news in the pulpit. And it's not good news. It's a partial, watered-down, fake salvation. It's a salvation based upon the free will of man. And that's why I wrote this book, The Lies of Free Will. Do you control your own destiny? That airplane could never land if God strikes that lightning, strikes that those engines, and kicks those engines out. We don't control our own destiny. God controls our own destiny. He also is the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And he's making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, this morning, let us always remember that on Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. And I can't even stand on the solid rock if it was not foreordained before the foundation of the world. I was chosen in him. Ephesians 1:1. Read it. I was predestinated to be adopted into the child, to be adopted as a child of God. Ephesians 1:5. God never will divorce his children, and he will never unadopt you. It's an eternal adoption. It's an eternal marriage. We have all of these marriages and divorces in our society, and people get divorced on the drop of a hat. They may not like the kind of bean soup you made. Or they may not like the fact that you're growing bald or you're getting fat, so they divorce you. Jesus Christ will not divorce his children. Well, do we have a final selection today? And I want to thank all of you for joining us today. This morning, I want to remind you we will be having an evening worship service at 6 o'clock this evening, Central Time, USA. You all are a great encouragement. We covet your prayers. We pray for you all. Love all in Christ, in the truth of his word, not some fickle kind of Beatles theology. Okay. Okay, Mark has selected 417. Let me get to that, Mark, before you start. 417. Okay, go ahead.
Was with an everlasting love that God his own elect embraced. Before he made the worlds above, or upon her huge columns placed, long ere the sun's refulgent ray primeval shades of darkness drove, they on his sacred bosom lay, loved with an everlasting love. Then in his love and his decrees, Christ and his bride appeared as one. Her sin by imputation is, while she in spotless splendor shone. O love, how high thy glory's up, how great and beautiful and free. 10,000 sins as black as hell are swallowed up, O love, by thee. Believer, here thy comfort stands, from first to last salvation's free. And everlasting love demands, and everlasting love from thee.
Okay, well listen, y'all, thank you so much for being a part of our time together this morning. And we have a Saturday call, a special call. It's usually, you know, four or five people that get together and build a relationship. And we like to talk about these great doctrines. And so if any of you would like to be a part of that video conference call, it's on Saturday night, and it takes place at this 6 o'clock Central Time, and it's on Google Hangouts. And I'm going to post my email here. Like I say, we try to keep it small because we don't want everybody talking over everyone. It's usually four or five people. And so if you want to be invited to that call, if you will email me, I will put you in the slot to join us for a video conference call. Like I said, I can only have, you know, four or five people on the call. Oftentimes Kevin McHugh's with us, our fellow laborer in Christ. Sometimes Mark Kennedy's usually with us. So we have some slots open to share with those that want to really share these great truths. So with that, I'm going to say good night. God bless you, and may you have a great Lord's Day.